Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this Food Friday, January 22nd. I'm Ray Graff. Today we welcome Holly Shelowitz of Nourishing Wisdom, who is here to discuss immune-boosting foods with us today. Holly is on the line to answer your cooking and nutrition questions. So if you have a cooking and or a nutrition question, give us a call. 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, that's voxpop@wamc.org, but the number, and remember, it's a call-in show. We love to hear from you. The number is 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz, healthy cooking, your calls, all coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. It's Food Friday, and today we welcome Holly Shelowitz. Holly is a certified nutrition counselor and culinary nutrition educator for over 22 years. She has been teaching people how to harness their body's own preventative and healing powers with food, herbs, and lifestyle. Holly was the Northeast Regional Nutrition Educator for Whole Foods Market. She created the Healthy Eating Education Program at Mother Earth Storehouse and helped open the cafe at Sunflower Natural Foods Market. She regularly teaches community workshops at libraries, farmers markets, and everywhere on Zoom. If you have a question for Holly, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or you can email us, as some people have already done, at voxpop@wamc.org. Holly Shelowitz, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm delighted to be here.
First of all, a huge thank you. You know, in these COVID times, we have not had guests in the studio in a long, long time. And traditionally on the Food Friday, we have a little food, we shoot the breeze a little bit, but really, it's been me in the studio and the guest on the phone, as you are, but you went the extra mile and dropped food off last night. And before we get going with what it is you do, I want to tell you, it was fantastic stuff. You brought carrot soup with shredded coconut, a broccoli salad with sunflower seeds, and the chocolate bark. And I shared some of your food in the front office today. And you know, the carrot soup, it was a little sweet, it was a little spicy. Amber, who is our Fun Drive director, said it was so good that she couldn't describe it using words. And I wonder if you could just tell us a little bit about that soup.
Okay. So this is, it's a carrot ginger soup. And then there's also cardamom, coriander, coconut milk, and a squeeze of lime and a pinch of cayenne pepper.
Now, okay, taste aside, there are benefits to this, and we will get to that in a moment. But let's talk taste here for a second. Now, the broccoli salad had what universally is was acclaimed to be a mystery flavor. No one could figure out what it is. It was delicious. It was fresh. There's a spice in there that nobody could identify. What was it?
Fennel seed.
Ah, okay. So somebody in the front office is going to win the pool. It was very good, though. Very nice. And so,
I'm so glad.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so this is a broccoli detox salad. It's an all-raw salad where you can use broccoli florets, cauliflower, carrots, and you put them in the food processor and buzz them so they really are ground pretty fine, as you saw.
Yeah.
And there's a very simple dressing of a little olive oil, a little fresh lemon. There's also some currants in there that can add some sweetness because a lot of people might not be used to eating broccoli and cauliflower raw in this way. So the currants add like a tiny little hit of something sweet. And then as I was tasting it and making it yesterday, I thought, like a little fennel seed would be really nice. So then I added some fennel seed to that as well.
And you've never done that before?
I've never done that.
Oh, my gosh. So you're using us as guinea pigs. Well, it worked out
exactly.
Really well. Now, you call it a detox broccoli salad. I mean, does it work on booze? Or what detox are we talking about here?
Here's how it works. I am totally passionate about teaching about immune boosting foods.
Yeah.
And so when we're eating foods that are raw like that salad, it's liver loving. It's giving your liver a little scrub. It's supporting your digestion and it's getting your juices flowing all while it tastes really good. So yeah. That's how that works.
I got to tell you, Holly, my liver has needed a scrubbing for many, many years. So thank you for that. I really appreciate it. And then you also sent chocolate bark, which that can't be good for you. It was fantastic.
It is.
What do you mean?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. So, you know, chocolate is an immune-boosting food. Cacao in its natural state, and when you're eating dark chocolate, as dark as you enjoy it, then it's a total immune-boosting food. There's all kinds of nutrients. There's magnesium. Plus, in that bark, I added some roasted hazelnuts and some dried cherries that are unsweetened. So there's like a little tart, a little sweet. And then the sweetener in the bark is just a little bit of coconut sugar. So it's not sweetened with white sugar, even though it does have a sweet taste. It's a kind of sweetener that doesn't send your blood sugar through the roof.
You know, we got a lot of junk food junkies in the newsroom, but I kept the chocolate bark aside for mainly the newsroom consumption, and it's been very popular. So you have done well there, Holly Shelowitz. Now, before we take a break and then get to the calls, and the number is 800-348-2551. The email address is voxpop@wamc.org. Before we do that, just tell me a little bit about these classes you do. Now, one of the things that have exploded over the past year when a lot of people have been locked down, a lot of those cooking instructors and chefs and everybody else, they're doing cooking classes online via Zoom or other mechanisms, and you're doing that as well, right?
That's right, and I've been teaching classes for over 20 years, and thankfully on Zoom for the past 4 or 5 years. And it gives people, and especially now, a way to connect and have fun in the kitchen. I'm actually loving this so much because we get to see each other in our kitchens. And then we gather around the table. Everyone brings their screen into their dining room or their kitchen table, and we all eat together and talk and connect. And, it's just a wonderful way to gather. It's also a beautiful way to learn new cooking techniques and have delicious food available when you want it.
Now, when I spoke to you on the phone today, you said, oh, yeah, I'm just getting some more classes going. How do people find out more about those?
All of my classes are on the website, and it's okay to give that web
sure,
address.
Sure, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so it's nourishingwisdom.com. And at the top of the website, when you arrive, you'll see there's a drop-down menu for cooking classes. And all of my upcoming classes are there. They're all virtual, of course. They're all on Zoom, and it's really easy to sign up and register.
Nourishingwisdom.com. All right, we have 1 minute here before the break, and then we'll hit the phones. Give me an example of an upcoming class, something you're excited about.
Okay. Sheet pan suppers.
I'm sorry, what? No.
Sheet pan suppers.
Gotcha. I thought you said sheep for a minute. Sheet. I'm with you. All right, go ahead.
Where you put everything that you are enjoying, everything that you're having for dinner, you lay it out on a sheet pan, you season it, and you pop it in the oven, and you just hang out and wait until it's done, and you have your entire dinner on a sheet pan, ready to roll. Oh. So easy, and we make a number of different dishes in that class.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. Holly Shelowitz is with us today. We talk cooking, we talk nutrition, we talk immune boosting, and we'll get to your calls at 800-348-2551 in a moment. Also, some email at voxpop@wamc.org. We'll be right back. You like good food? You like to boost your immune system? We have the person here for you today. Holly Shelowitz is a nutrition counselor and culinary nutrition educator, and our number here is 800-348-2551. Before we get to the email here, Holly, you know, there are many foods. If you watch as much late-night cheapo TV as I do, you always hear about, oh, this has the power of this fruit or this. There's all of these immune-boosting things that are supposed to work. According to a certified nutrition counselor and culinary nutrition educator, what foods actually help build immunity?
Here we go. Definitely greens. Kale, collards, broccoli.
Yeah.
All of those greens, all of your root vegetables. So things that a lot of people are not accustomed to eating, like all the different radishes, turnips, butternut squash, sweet potatoes, carrots, parsnips, all of the root vegetables are, what's happening is that they're immune boosting because they happen to be naturally cleansing. And again, remember I mentioned the liver, your liver before, that all of these foods naturally, gently cleanse the liver, support digestion, and provide a host of vitamins, minerals, nutrients, trace minerals, and enzymes that really support all of your different systems.
I mean, it's hard to ask this question in the proper context, because you've been doing this so long and this wisdom has been out there for so long, but is there science to back that up?
There is science to back it up, and anybody can do some Google searching. And I think maybe some of it is also ancient healing wisdom.
Yeah.
Like there's a whole bunch of beautiful herbs, roots and barks and flowers and leaves and plants all have incredibly powerful healing properties. Many pharmaceutical drugs have been designed to mimic or even use part of these healing plants. So there is research, and someone just needs to just do a little, let your fingers do some Google searching.
You know, on your list, and you sent me a list of some of these immune-boosting foods, you got sea vegetables. That's where you lost me. What are we talking about there?
All right. So the most common way that people might be understanding of what sea vegetables are is if you've eaten Japanese food. So if you, when you order sushi, it's wrapped in nori seaweed. That's a sea vegetable. And it is so high in trace minerals, nutrients, and vitamins. And so there's nori, there's hijiki, which is also a Japanese, commonly served in Japanese food and Japanese cuisine. There is a sea vegetable called dulse, D-U-L-S-E. And it's like, you might even see it walking along the beach, depending on where you live. And it's really high in trace minerals. They literally help to remove toxins from the body.
Yeah.
And there are ways to prepare them to have them taste great.
I'd be interested in to know how you would pick some dulse off the beach and how you would cook that properly and make it taste delicious.
No, I'm not suggesting that.
Oh.
I'm totally not suggesting.
Oh, okay. All right. Fair enough.
I'm saying that you could see it on the beach. I'm only suggesting to purchase it. Purchase it packaged and clear, you know, clean and all of that.
Yeah, what do you do with it?
Don't harvest it.
I mean, give me a recipe.
Oh, dulse?
Yeah.
Okay, so dulse has a salty, smoky flavor.
Yeah.
And it's really nice in a simple salad with tomatoes, chopped onions, and avocado. That's one way to eat it. And it adds like a salty, smoky flavor to that. Other ways to prepare dulse, and really almost any of the sea vegetables, is to add it to your soup. And anybody who has attended any of my classes or have been a client of mine knows that I am telling everyone to make soup. You can get every immune-boosting, beautiful, delicious vegetable and some of these sea vegetables in a pot of soup. If you make a pot of lentil soup and then add some dulse to it, just a little bit to add some salty, smoky taste, you won't even know that it's a seaweed, and you're adding so many immune-boosting properties.
I'll be darned. I'll have to take one of your classes sometime. I see Barb King, our call screener, nodding. As soon as you said soup with the seaweed and the adults in it, she was nodding her head. So she's on board. I tell you what, we will continue on your list of immune-boosting foods in a little bit, but the lines are starting to load up, and we have a stack of emails here. So here we go. The number is 800-348-2551. We're joined today by Holly Shelowitz, and this first email is from Elise. Elise says, how do you keep your immune system strong when you are on a course of antibiotics?
Great question. Such a great question. There, so you want to really be mindful of the foods that you're eating, because antibiotics are strong medicine, and you want to really be supporting your gut and your digestion, which is probably why she's asking this question. So there is a particular probiotic that is the only one that I'm aware of that does not get destroyed by the powerful antibiotics. And I hope I can say this correctly. I'll spell it, but it's called Saccharomyces.
That works for me.
And but it is a really great strain of probiotic that you would take at the opposite times of when you're taking your antibiotic. And so I'm going to spell it so that everybody can jot it down. It's S-A-C-C-H-A-R-O-M like Mary, Y-C-E-S.
Oh, so it's spelled just like it sounds. Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the dose, you know, usually it's got 10 billion CFUs, which is the amount of probiotics that are in there. And because it might be a new strain for your body, it's always good to just start with one capsule, and then you would take it at the opposite time. So if you're taking your antibiotic in the morning, then you would take the probiotic at least 6 hours later.
Very interesting. We're joined today by Holly Shelowitz, who is a nutrition counselor and a culinary nutrition educator. This email from Joanne. Joanne says, I'm wondering what foods I should avoid to deal with a recent bout of bloating. I've recently stopped eating cabbage and broccoli, which I love, but I'm wondering what else I should limit for a while and what I can eat or drink to help my situation. Also, I plan to start taking a probiotic. And that's from Joanne. Mm.
Okay, so you can see probiotics are like hot on the trail right now with everyone's concern. So I'd love to know more about the bloating, but what I could say simply is a lot of times the body holds on to water when it is actually dehydrated.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure you're drinking lots of water, and depending on your digestion, squeezing some fresh lemon in that water, especially in the morning, literally gets things moving. It rehydrates your body after 8 hours or so of not drinking any water. And then other things, like it's interesting that she says she's going to stop eating those foods.
Yeah.
And I would say cooked, simple foods and soups, and truly making sure you're drinking lots of water, getting outside, breathing fresh air. Feel free to reach out, because I would want to know more in order to help you more fully.
You know, careful what you wish for, because if we give your email address out, you will probably get a lot of questions. But do you want to do that? It's up to you.
I'm happy to do
that. All right, what is your email address?
It's Holly@nourishingwisdom.com.
Holly@nourishingwisdom.com. Okay, well, you asked for it, Holly. All right, let's grab a call. We have many more emails to get through and some calls and more on your list of immune-boosting foods. Let's go to Rob in Westfield, Massachusetts. Rob, you're on.
Hi, Holly. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a diabetic, and I was able initially to get it under control through weight loss, but now I'm about as small as I can be, and I'm still having problems with it. And a neighbor of mine told me about two, I don't know if they're, well, they're supplements, let's call it that. One is called benfotiamine, and the other one is called berberine. And I'm wondering if you know anything about them.
Thanks for your question. I do not know anything about them, and it is important to do your research before you obviously start taking something.
I did. You know, I did go on, and it did say that it helps to regulate blood sugar, but the issue was that they're very expensive, and I'm on a limited budget right now. So I did buy two. Go ahead.
Yeah, there's other things that you can do. I'm assuming what you're saying is that you have type 2 diabetes?
Yes. Yes.
And are you on medication?
Yes. What's it called? It's the standard one.
Metformin.
Metformin.
Yeah.
Metformin.
A thousand milligrams of metformin a day, which at first I really did not tolerate well, but they gave me another type of it, and so I'm doing okay with it now.
Okay, I'm glad to hear that. And so have your blood sugar levels stabilized?
Actually, my last one, which was 6 months ago, was like 6.8. But
that your A1C was 6.8?
Yes. Okay. But since the pandemic, I don't know what's going on. I mean, I live alone. I'm home. There's sort of things that are tempting to eat.
Yeah.
And so my daily.
So I'm going to jump. Yeah. Yeah. I'm
going
to jump right to this, because what can often happen is you're setting the whole scenario. And I so understand how you feel, like everyone is going through this. And for someone who's got type 2 diabetes, you have to be so careful about your carbohydrate intake, because the body is having
problem.
A hard time. Exactly. So the body has a hard time processing carbohydrates, and it elevates blood sugar quickly. And so when I say carbohydrates, I don't mean like broccoli and cauliflower and things like that, but, you know, baked goods, pastries, white flour, anything with sugar in it, you're going to be canceling out all the hard work that you've just been doing.
Yeah, I literally, the only thing that I can't, I love bread, you know,
and you're not alone,
you know, and
but your body is responding to it.
Can I ask you another really quick question?
Very quick.
Is dark chocolate okay?
Dark chocolate is very okay. However, almost all dark chocolate is made with white sugar and cane sugar, which it doesn't matter how dark the chocolate is. If there's sugar in it, it's going to elevate your blood sugar and cause all the problems that you've been trying so hard to eliminate. But what you can do, there's a brand. Ray, can I mention a brand?
Well, I suppose so.
Okay. So there's a brand that you can find in all of the natural food stores. I have no affiliation. I'm just so grateful that they exist. And it's called Lily.
I'm a professor, and I do this all the time and tell my class, you know, I don't get anything from it, so I understand.
Understood. Okay.
So it's called Lily's, and it's chocolate that is sweetened with a combination of stevia and erythritol, and it doesn't elevate blood sugar. Mm. And that, you know, they have lots of different kinds. Make sure you read the labels, because, you know, you got to be a label detective.
All right.
And,
All right, Rob, thank you very much for that one. Holly Shulowitz joins us today. Her website is nourishingwisdom.com. This email from Barbara in Ulster County. All right, we're going to have you put your chef's hat on now. All right, Holly?
Okay.
Barbara says, do you have a secret method to remove too much salt from soup, such as a yellow lentil soup? Is it true, as I've read, that boiling a cut-up potato and removing that from the soup might work?
Yes, that can definitely work. And then you might have to still zhuzh it up. You know, that's a professional thing. No, just kidding. You'd still have to, like, finesse it, possibly by adding more water, but more ideally stock that's not salted. And then you'll have to start fussing with the spices. But a cut-up potato can absolutely pull out the salt. And then, of course, you don't want to cut it up too small, because you want to be able to remove the potato that has absorbed that salt. But I would say adding in more spices, not the salty ones, and not salt, and then increasing your stock and making sure that you're using stock that does not have salt in it.
Mm-hmm. Holly Shelowitz joins us. This email from Kathy, and you and I were talking about the tremendous carrot soup that you brought to us last night. And Holly, yeah. And Kathy wants to know, do you have the recipe for that soup on your website?
I actually have a soups cookbook on my website, but the one that I made last night has some changes in it. So anybody that, like if you reach out to me, I will send that, and probably, you know what I'll do? I'll put it on my Facebook page so that it'll be, you know, anybody can access it.
Oh, very cool. And I assume there is a link from nourishingwisdom.com to your Facebook page. All right. This one is from Carol. And Carol says, please compare whole wheat to enriched refined wheat flour nutrition and how these affect diabetic health. Well, you mentioned that a little bit, but you can go into greater detail if you wish.
Yeah, I'm going to say that either one can truly elevate blood sugar. When you're eating food in its whole natural state, which is, in your example, whole wheat, which actually is not a food that I would recommend to someone who's got blood sugar issues or digestive issues, even though it is such a common ingredient in so many things that everyone eats, the enriched wheat means that the whole wheat has been stripped of much of the fiber, almost all of the vitamins and minerals, and then they add in synthetic nutrients. I would just really stay away from it. And to be honest, I would stay away from both in terms of blood sugar and start learning, you know, you can find, it's tricky to find some breads out there that don't have any sugar in them, even the ones that are gluten-free. Mm-hmm. But to learn how to prepare, and you can make your own breads with almond flour. And that's like one of my, you know, that's a really wonderful way to still enjoy bread, is to start switching over to almond flour, which is a protein-rich, nutrient-dense flour when it's properly prepared.
Okay,
so
properly
prepared.
That's a great question.
Exactly.
Now, I'm glad you brought, and we only have a minute and a half here before the next break, and then we'll get back to the emails and the phones. It's 800-348-2551. Yeah. But Holly Shelowitz, I'm so glad you brought up almond flour, because my daughters, who are bakers, bought almond flour a few weeks ago for some recipe or other. And now there's a big bag of, by the way, it ain't cheap, and there's a big bag of almond flour there, and they only used a little of it for this recipe. What else can you do with it? Is it a one-to-one replacement for regular old flour?
No, I'm so glad you asked that. It really has to be a recipe that's been created with almond flour as the base, because it's a naturally gluten-free flour. It doesn't have the same properties as using wheat flour or whole wheat flour. There are so many recipes. I've got recipes on my website with almond flour. There are bread and gluten-free baking classes that I also teach. But normally you would need, you have to find a recipe that's got that's specifically designed. But you can absolutely make a delicious almond flour bread.
Does it have the consistency of bread, of regular bread?
Yes, and almond flour pancakes are really delicious.
Well, that sounds good.
What else do I do? So many things with almond flour. I make, you'll love this, Ray. I make these broccoli pancakes, which is like, you know, broccoli and all these vegetables, very similar to the broccoli salad that I made for you guys.
Yeah.
And then you add some almond flour, and then you can add eggs or keep it vegan and make these patties and bake them in the oven. There's actually, I think there's a video on my Facebook page somewhere where I just show people how to do that. There's lots that you can do with it.
My God, Holly Shelowitz, you're a genius, clearly, but I think you lost me at the broccoli pancakes. I'm going to have to take a break and digest that one. We'll be back, 800-348-2551. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. Ray Graff here, 800-348-2551. Holly Shelowitz, a certified nutrition counselor and culinary nutrition educator, joins us. Her website is nourishingwisdom.com. And having just a fun time here. I sure wish, though, you had brought some of the pancakes, not necessarily the broccoli ones, but maybe the almond ones. Before we get back to our email and our phone lines here, you know, this has been talked about again and again and again. Eat the rainbow, and you might as well explain it for the uninitiated.
Okay. I know it sounds funny and it's kind of corny. However, if you think about all of the vegetables, all of the fruits, and all of their colors, that's what I'm talking about when I say eat the rainbow. That there are literally fruits and vegetables in so many colors, and it's the colors that bring their own special phytonutrients, which means plant-based nutrients. And so many, you know, everything in the plant kingdom, you can, in terms of fruits and vegetables, there are so many different ways that you can prepare them. So if we think about greens and carrots and squash, right there we've got beautiful colors. They can all be eaten raw, like we've been talking about. They can be cooked and pureed, like the carrot soup. I neglected to say it's a pureed soup, so it's very like velvety and yummy, and it's bright orange.
Indeed.
And then, you know, there's even purple potatoes. There's purple, beautiful red cabbage. Really, we do eat with our eyes, right? When you see a big plate of something just kind of like not looking particularly appetizing, or if you walk into so many, and maybe all grocery stores to their credit, you walk into what department? You're walking into the produce department because it's alive, it's fresh, it's colorful, it's bright, it's inspiring. It makes you want to buy it,
yeah.
Right? But it also, better yet, as far as I'm concerned, I want you to eat it.
Yeah.
And so if you have a plate, something I've been doing lately and really sharing with my clients is to steam a whole bunch of vegetables. So let's say you steam some broccoli, some carrots, some red cabbage, some yellow squash, and you make a lot of it. And then you have your own little condiment area where you set up your plate and you put all these different beautiful colors on your plate. And of course, whatever protein of choice, whether it's beans or chicken or fish or meat. And then you can use spices and condiments to flavor these very simply cooked vegetables. Like I like to use tahini, which is a sesame butter, or, you know, it's like peanut butter, but it's made from sesame seeds.
Yeah.
And you could use that and a little soy sauce. That alone is delicious and really flavorful. Or you can use pesto or salsa or tomato sauce and just really simply season. And you have like a rainbow of food on your plate with great flavor and super nutrition.
You know, as you described that, I just started picturing Bob Ross painting, put a nice little green tree there. And, I think what you say makes a great deal of sense. The rainbow of colors, mm-hmm. It's a good thing. This email from Charles, and I think Charles is onto something here. Subject heading, ice cream, ! Really, how healthy is it? And that's from Charles.
How healthy is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so... so much depends on what's in your ice cream, right? There's ice cream that's got, let's see. So for a lot of people, some people can eat dairy products, some people cannot. Most ice cream has a sweetener in it of some kind. And so most ice cream that you'll find in the supermarket is using cane sugar in a pretty decent amount. And so in order for me to really answer that question, the best thing that I could say is you've got to read the label. Is ice cream healthy? I'm going to say, no.
All right. Well,
I'm just going to say no.
That's a buzzkill right there. I got to be honest with you.
I know. I'm sorry. But here's the thing. There's lots of great brands that are using gentle sweeteners. A friend just told me about one that's using brown rice syrup, which is a really nice sweetener.
Yeah.
It still elevates blood sugar, just FYI. But there's, if you do your research, and generally it's going to be in a natural food store or in a natural food section mm-hmm. of your supermarket if they're savvy, and you have to read the labels. Be a label reading detective. You know, any product can say healthy, organic, good for you on the front. And in my opinion, the proof is in the pudding. You got to read the label and read the ingredients on the back. That's where the information really is. And ingredients are listed in the order of quantity. So when sugar or dextrose or high fructose corn syrup are among the first few ingredients, that means that that's got the largest amount, right?
Right.
So be aware of that. So I could say, right. You know, other things that you could do. If you're an ice cream lover, you can do some great things. Don't laugh. Like, you can freeze some bananas.
We've done that. I'm with you on that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like wild blueberries.
Yeah.
Wild blueberries are so sweet and so amazing. When you put your chopped frozen banana out of the peel into the blender with some wild blueberries, you can even add a little almond milk or a little coconut milk.
Okay.
You can add a splash of maple syrup, or there's a whole bunch of other sweeteners that don't elevate blood sugar at all. One is called erythritol or monk fruit sweetener. But you might not even need a sweetener in this. And then you blend it up and you have your own totally amazing ice cream.
So be honest now. Do you ever eat ice cream, Holly Shulowitz?
I don't eat traditional ice cream. No, I personally, sugar and me do not agree.
Ah,
so
okay.
If I am going to eat ice cream, I will definitely make my own. I'm playing it straight with
okay,
you, right?
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right, this one's from Susan, that's and then we'll cool. get back to the phone. Susan writes, are you saying that broccoli greens can be eaten? I've never seen them for sale in the store. And if so, what easy recipe would you suggest? And thanks so much from California. And that's from Susan.
Hi, Susan from California. No, not broccoli greens. I think maybe there are greens, actually. There are leaves that grow on the broccoli plant. But what I was saying was when I was talking about eating greens, I put broccoli into the category of kale, collards, Swiss chard, spinach, broccoli. So, and I would say if you have access to a farm where the broccoli is growing, you'll get some greens in with your broccoli. But I think it was just a misunderstanding.
Okay, fair enough. Let's go back to the phones. 800-348-2551. Holly Shulowitz joins us, nutrition counselor, culinary nutrition educator, and online classes. You've been way ahead on the Zoom curve for a few years now. NourishingWisdom.com is the website. Martha's in Gansevoort. Martha, you're on.
Hi, so glad you could take my call. I've been living on, not entirely living on, but eating a lot of Food for Life bread, which is flourless. And the one that I'm eating now is called Flax, and it's got wheat, barley, beans, lentils, millet, spelt. And they're all sprouted. And produced that way. I'm a little wondering about the flax. It's rolled in flax seeds, and doesn't flax spoil easily? And I was wondering, you know, about it. It's a refrigerated bread, but you know, you put it frozen, but then you put it in your refrigerator. Any ideas?
Okay. Yes. So yeah, that's a really good bread. In fact, thanks for bringing that up. And the folks that were asking earlier about bread, that would be a good brand to check out. There is still grain in there, but the fact that they're all sprouted means that it's been soaked and sprouted, so there's a lot more enzymes, and it makes it a lot more digestible. And for some people, it does not elevate blood sugar when they've been sprouted. So I'm so glad you brought that up. With regard to the flax seeds, you know, it's a really funny thing that they're putting flax seeds on bread. Maybe they're adding it at the end of their bake, but most people who are eating bread, especially sprouted breads, they taste better when they're warm or toasted, in my opinion. And so you are correct. Flaxseed, chia seed are really high in flax seeds and chia seeds, two totally different things. They're very high in omega-3s, which are really healthy and nourishing and supportive, but they are destroyed by heat. And so flax and chia seeds ideally should not be heated. So you're on it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for the call, Martha. 800-348-2551 is the number. Holly Shelowitz joins us. Debbie is in Guilderland. Debbie.
Which are...
Debbie, you got to turn the radio down a little bit there.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Oh, I did. Hello.
Hello.
Thank you.
You're
for
welcome.
The call.
Okay.
A neighbor of mine just was talking to me the other day, and she just came down with macular degeneration, and I want to know what kind of foods could boost that for her eyes, that problem. And then you were talking about the sweeteners. I missed it, and I want to know which ones that will not raise the blood sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the foods for macular degeneration, which is an eye issue, you want to have her eat foods that are really high in vitamin A and B and beta carotene. So, of course, carrots, all the orange vegetables, mm-hmm. but there's also some herbs that that you can look up that are really supportive for eye health. And I'm not remembering them offhand, but you can easily, like, if you type in, like, what herbs are helpful for that and for macular degeneration, that you'll get some information. But, of course, you want to be really careful when you're starting to incorporate some herbs that you don't have experience with. It's good to find.
Just go over it again.
Practitioner.
You said vitamin A, and what were the other two?
Vitamin A, vitamin B, like beautiful, and beta carotene. So all of the orange foods are naturally high in those things. And I would totally encourage a B complex supplement. And that is really helpful. I mean, it's really, honestly, it's helpful for all of us because B complex really helps us all adapt to stress. And
really?
Like, who doesn't need that right now? Yeah.
Vitamin B helps with stress?
The B complex especially. It's like it's a complex of B vitamins that really help the body and support the body in dealing with stress.
I'll be darned. Now, to be clear,
yeah.
I mean, is there science that says any food that you eat can help reverse macular degeneration?
I'm certainly not saying that it can reverse it. And anything is possible, right? We know people heal from cancer.
Yeah.
Things happen. Okay. Anything is possible. And so sometimes there's research on some things like that, and sometimes there's not. And I would say each person, especially when you're working with herbs, you want to really find a qualified practitioner that you can work with. And it's really important to not just start willy-nilly experimenting. Because herbs, while they're in the plant kingdom, they are very strong foods.
Yeah, I think you make a great point. Now, we only have about 2 minutes exactly here to the end of the show, but let's try to get Jana in High Falls in here. Jana, you got about a minute to pose the question.
Okay, I'll try to do it really fast.
Okay.
I was recently diagnosed with IBS, which has a very limited diet, that FODMAP diet, FODMAP. I have always eaten really well. A lot of like my favorite foods are not permitted on that diet. So what would you recommend? Like no cauliflower, no broccoli, no garlic, no onions, no legumes, no... It's very limiting.
Yeah. Unfortunately, IBS is like such a blanket word for many different ailments that happen for people with regard to their digestion. So without knowing more, I don't feel like I can say, you should eat these. However, what I can say is, are you vegetarian?
Not completely, but I tend to, I love vegetables.
Yeah. Okay, great.
It's like I'll eat a little bit of poultry, or but love vegetables.
Okay, good. So bone broth is an essential, healing, beautiful broth for all kinds of digestive and gut issues. So making bone broth with chicken bones or beef bones, if you're more inclined to use poultry, that's absolutely fine. You can, I think you said you're in High Falls, so there's lots of stores and farms that sell bones specifically for making bone broth, or you can roast a chicken, save all the bones, and start saving, well, depending on the vegetables that you're able to eat or not, you can even just keep it with a straight up bone broth and simmer those bones for 12 to 24 hours, or if you have an Instant Pot, you can put it in the Instant Pot. And the gelatin and the collagen and the nutrients that are extracted from those bones are very, very healing for digestive issues.
Well, Holly Shelowitz, we are done here today, and we barely scraped the surface of what we can talk about. So I hope you come back again soon, okay?
I would love that.
Great job today, and we appreciate you being here. Support comes from Big Elm Brewing in Sheffield, Massachusetts. Hours Thursday through Sunday, noon to 6 p.m. Tap room now open and curbside pickup available. Reservations recommended. More information at BigElmBeer.com. Big Y, family-owned and operated market with locations throughout the Berkshires, celebrating more than 80 years of serving communities throughout New England. BigY.com. Dr. Jian Shen, specializing in endoscopic spine surgery and disc regeneration, treating disc herniations, spinal stenosis, and myelopathy. ENVisionSpineSurgery.com for details. And Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasoning, Sheffield, Massachusetts, specializing in black garlic and black garlic products with custom-made infused blends of sea salts at Hot Pepper Blends, RollingRockSalt.com. Once again, thanks to Holly for joining us. You can reach her at nourishingwisdom.com. Thank you for listening. Thanks to Zach, our engineer. Barb King took the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend.